Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Today, we begin a new series. Last week, we finished the series of Colossians. Today, we begin a three-week series. And today, it's the Lamb of God. Next Sunday, it will be the sacrifice of the Lamb. The Sunday after that will be the resurrection of the Lamb. That will bring us to Easter Sunday. I love this month. It reminds me, it keeps me mindful why we do what we do. We do what we do because we have a living Savior. Amen. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Matthew chapter 21 and verse 1. The Word of God says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them." And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when they had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we praise you because you are God. We bow before you today to worship you, to honor you, and to submit to you. We rejoice in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, your Lamb, the Son of God. And we thank you that for our sins, he gave his life. And now, Lord, as we look at this, your word today, open our eyes, speak to us, O Lord. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. Move within us and give us a responding spirit as you move. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Lamb of God. What a day this was as Jesus entered that holy city of Jerusalem as the Lamb of God. But the interesting thing about Jesus' triumphal entry here is that he enters as a lamb. But Israel is looking for the lion. This event, the triumphal entry, I mean, it is, you've got to use your imagination just a little bit to visualize what this looked like. People were on the side of the road. They were going berserk, for lack of a better way to put it. They were rejoicing, and they were coming before Jesus as he's riding into the city of Jerusalem and laying their clothes before him for the colt that he was riding to walk upon. Others had cut palm branches, and they were laying those branches and leaves before this colt to walk upon, or paving the road with their clothes in these branches. Everything about this shows excitement. The clothes that they laid, it represents their submission. The palm branches represent victory. And everything about this reflects the crowd's submission to the Savior's victory at this point in time. The King is here. Can you imagine that? The King Put yourself in this position. Finally, after years of abuse, after being carried away into captivity, after the destruction of their holy city, even when they were released from captivity and came back, they found their city in ruins. They were just like the ugly stepchild of the world, to be abused by every government everywhere. Now, the king has come. This is going to be the change. No wonder they're crying out, "Hosanna, Son of David." You know what Hosanna means? Save us. Oh, they're rejoicing. They are fired up. Our king has finally come. He will surely at this point establish his kingdom. And we'll never, never bow at the knees of the Roman government again. This is what they've been looking for. But this is not what's happening. Jesus is not coming in to establish his kingdom, to set up his kingship for the world to bow to him at this point in time. That's what the Jews want. He's coming not as a lion, but as a lamb, meek and mild. I thought about this, you know, and I thought, you know, there will be people here today. There will be people here today that come to this service searching, looking for something. And that's my question. What are you looking for today in a Savior? Some of you are here thinking, boy, if this Jesus could just put my life back together. If this Jesus could just come and deliver me from the harshness that is in my life right now. If this Jesus could just fix my marriage and deliver me from my illness. You know, you got this picture painted of Jesus as being the power that can fix whatever's wrong in your life. And he is. But I want to tell you, that may not be what God's offering you today. You know? That may not be what God wants to present before you today. You may be looking for this lion that would take over and fix everything that's wrong. And God just may be offering you a lamb. Let's consider Jesus. Verse 5 says he's entering the city lowly, riding a donkey. Imagine this. Israel wants this king to come in and set his foot down. And God gives them this friendly Savior Lamb of God. You ever wonder why Jesus appears like he does? Well, the reason is because it's Passover. Now, we did a study on the feast back several months ago, maybe a couple of years by now. But at this point in the Jewish calendar, it's Passover. And Passover is the first of seven feasts of the Jewish year. And it starts the new Jewish year. And it's celebrated on the 14th day of Nisan. And it has its roots in that evening before that Israel was delivered from Egyptian captivity. You know the story how that on the evening before God finally, through the hardness of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, he finally, one night, killed all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. And he told Israel on that night that they were to take a lamb. They were to slay that lamb and take the blood of that lamb and wipe it on the doorpost of their homes. And if they would do that, when the death angel passed through the land, he would pass over that home where the blood had been applied. Right? But he told them, "You shall observe this as a..." Excuse me, I'm sorry. perpetually, year after year, year after year, you'll observe this feast. You'll take this lamb. You'll sacrifice it. You'll place the blood over the door. Now, in preparation of this Passover, something special happened on the 10th day of Nisan. The 10th day of Nisan, 4 days before the lamb was to be sacrificed, they were to go out and find their lamb. Select their lamb. They would take this lamb and take it to their home. And they would watch this lamb for 4 days to make sure that there was not a blemish in this lamb. Now they knew when they got the lamb that it looked good, but they're going to watch this lamb for 4 days and ensure that something doesn't develop that they didn't see before. So this day that Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem, guess what day it is? No, it's not hump day. It's the 10th day of Nisan that Jesus comes riding this donkey into Israel. This is the day that everybody in Israel... this is the day that everybody in Israel are going to go out and choose their lamb for the Passover sacrifice. This is the day that Jesus rides into the city of Jerusalem on that donkey. And you know what? He's not riding in to fix all the problems of the world. He's riding in as the Lamb of God that will be sacrificed for the sin of the world. Big difference there. You see, God did not provide Israel at this point with what they wanted. God provided them with what they needed. Their most pressing need at this point was not deliverance from the Roman government. It was not a king. Their most pressing need at this point was sin. And forgiveness of that sin and deliverance from that sin. You see, they had been a rebellious nation. Yes, they were hand chosen by God Himself, but they had been a nation that had turned their backs on God and been a corrupt nation, a rebellious nation. God called them stiff-necked. They needed someone to address the sin problem. And today is that day, as Jesus comes in, that Israel is going to choose their lamb. I think that most of Israel did not understand it at this point. But when they're lining the streets and laying their clothes before Jesus, they're choosing their lamb. They are choosing the Passover sacrifice that will be sacrificed for the sin of the world. You know what? Today, my challenge to you is, choose your lamb. Choose your lamb. You've got to choose something today. You've got to choose something that will deliver you from the sin that plagues your life. You've got to use something. You've got to do something. Thank you. So that when you walk out of here, you won't walk out of here the same way as you did when you came in. Amen. You see, there is a Jesus. And He is the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah. Amen. But He has not come to fix every problem that is in your life. Yes, you may have trouble. And I wish I could stand before you today and tell you that, oh, just receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and everything will be fixed. That's not true. As long as you live in this sinful world, we're still going to have to deal with sin. But you got to choose your lamb. Oftentimes I think people become confused about what Jesus is all about. You know, we think that they have this, that they've heard people say, "Oh, when I was saved, it was the greatest day of my life." And truly, it is the greatest day of your life. "Oh, and God delivered me from drug addiction, and God delivered me from sickness, and I had cancer, and God healed me." And so they have this vision of God just fixes everything. No, God fixes the most important thing, which is the sin in your life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Choose your lamb. You may want this king coming in power, but at this point what you need is forgiveness and deliverance from the guilt of sin. Oh friends, choose your lamb. If you choose Jesus today, I cannot promise you everything in your life will be fixed, but I can promise you by the authority of the Word of God, that if you choose Jesus, your sins will be forgiven. And be cast as far as east is from the west. And you know what? The reality is, that is your real problem. Are you a child of God? You see, the death angel's going to visit. The Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We're all going to face that death angel. The thing is, when that blood has been applied, that death angel passes over you. Oh, I'm not saying you won't cast this old physical body off. I'm not. But what I am saying is when this physical life is through, for the child of God, the one who's placed their faith and their trust in Jesus, that for that child of God, there has been an eternal heaven prepared for them that'll never pass away, that'll never fade away. Choose your lamb. Choose your lamb. It's not about music. It's not about building. It's not about religious denominations. It's about Jesus. Now choose your lamb. Right here, right now. It's the 10th day. Jesus is riding. Excuse me. Jesus is riding into the city of Jerusalem. The Jews are crying out, "Hosanna, save us." Now today, will you cry out, "Hosanna, save me." As Jesus rides into the city, after all the crowds are gone, now he's got 4 days. 4 days to be examined by the people of Israel. 4 days, Jesus will undergo the examination. And I will encourage you. You read about it. Matthew chapter 22 is very specific. But Jesus is going to be examined to determine, is this really the Son of God? Is this guy really the Lamb without blemish? And the test began in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 15. The Pharisees come to test, it says, to test Jesus. And their test was, we're going to give him a question that if he answers, it doesn't matter which answer he gives, it's going to be wrong. So they ask him the question, "Jesus, is it lawful for someone to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Oh, what a question, right? I mean, Jesus appears to be at this point trapped. The question's designed that if Jesus answers, "No, we shouldn't have to pay taxes to Caesar," then they're going to get him as an insurrectionist and someone who's inciting a riot against Caesar. But if Jesus says, "Yes, you need to pay taxes," then the people are going to turn on him. Because nobody wants to pay taxes, right? So that's test number one. Test number one. Jesus' response in verse 19 of Matthew 22, it says, "Bring me the money. Show me the money." So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "It's Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." Boy, and that, I don't know about you, but the wisdom in that answer. Jesus says, "Show me the money. Is that Caesar's picture on there?" "Yeah, well, that's Caesar's picture." "Well, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar." You know what? What Jesus proved at that point? They're trying to trap Jesus in a political position. "Okay, Jesus, let's figure out what party you're a part of. Are you going to be a Pharisee, a Sadducee, or a Herodian? Are you going to be a corrupt government official? What are you going to be?" You know what? As you choose your Messiah today, here's what I want to offer you. Did you know that Jesus is not a Democrat? He's not. Somebody was saying, "That's right, preach on, preacher." Do you know what? He's not a Republican either. See, political party means absolutely nothing to Jesus. He's not worried about political correctness. He's worried about delivering people from their sin. Amen. Addressing the real issue. And the real issue is not Republicans and Democrats. The real issue is not presidents and governments. The real issue in this country is sin. Oh, but they go on. Moves on to be tested by the Sadducees. Matthew 22, verse 23 through 33. They approach Jesus and they said, we've got a hypothetical situation we'd like to share with you. We want your wisdom." And they gave a story that there were seven brothers. And these seven brothers, beginning with the oldest, married a lady. And this oldest brother died, and so as was the custom of that day, the next brother in line married this lady. Again, without children. The second brother died. Then the third brother in line married this lady because it was required of the law. And that the next brother in line would bring up children to their brother. So their question was, all seven of these guys married this woman and none of them ever had any children. So when they get to heaven, whose wife is this woman going to be? Jesus said, Matthew 22, 30, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven." Then, actually before that, he said, "Don't you even read the scriptures?" See, they're giving him this test, and this test, any way Jesus answers it, is going to be wrong. You know what they're doing? They're trying to catch Jesus in a bad theological position. Tried with government earlier, that didn't work. And now they're trying with theology. You know what else I've discovered? Hold on to your pew. Jesus is not Baptist. He's not Pentecost or Methodist either. He's not Presbyterian. He's not all this other stuff that we have created. Jesus is not about a denomination. He's about deliverance. Okay? Don't give me... Well, take it how you want to. You see, we have these pictures of what we think Jesus should be. And we don't get what He truly is. The Messiah. Ah, then the test of the scribes came. Matthew 22, verse 30. A scribe called him a lawyer. He approaches Jesus and said, "Okay, we've got one more chance. Third time's a charm," right? He approaches Jesus and said, "Good master, what is the greatest of all the commandments?" And Jesus, if Jesus answers and says, "Well, thou shalt not murder, then they're going to come back and they're going to say, well, you mean thou shalt not murder is more important than you should have no other gods before me? So any question, any way that Jesus responds here, they're ready to jump on him. And so they say, okay, Jesus, now what is the greatest commandment? So Jesus just starts at the top of the list and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second commandment's like that. It's you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what they did? They shut up. They didn't say a word. You know what they discovered? They discovered Jesus is not a legalist. That Jesus wasn't worried about keeping some set of rules. He wasn't worried about what they had done in the past or even the future. Jesus just says, I'm not here to build a religion. I'm here to build a following of God. To bring people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know that's what Jesus is about? To bring people into a personal relationship with God. Okay? That's what His whole ministry was. It wasn't about religion. It wasn't about rules. It was about coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know, after every one of these instances, you know what happens? Well, after this, and it says they didn't question Him anymore. He passed the test. I want to ask you a question today. What's your excuse? Why have you put off receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, let's test Him. Well, Brother Doug, you don't understand what I have done in my past. I just don't think I could be saved. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Brother Doug, you don't understand. I stole. Big deal. When you've transgressed in one part of the law, you've transgressed in it all. I've committed adultery, one might say. Big deal. There might even be someone in here saying, I committed murder. Guess what? The blood of Jesus will still wash you as white as snow. Test it. Test it. But I'll tell you what you're going to find. You're going to be like Herod. Like Pilate. They brought Jesus to Pilate. Pilate examined Him. He questioned Him. And examined Him and questioned Him some more. And you know what he finally came up with? John chapter 19, verse 4. Then Pilate went out again and said to them, behold, I'm bringing Him, Jesus, out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in Him. What you're going to discover today, all the excuses that you have been using, all the reasoning that you have been doing, just excuses. Because when you really examine who Jesus truly is, what you're going to find is no fault in Him. Okay? And you can point fingers and you can, you know, talk about church people and what hypocrites church people are. I want to tell you something. Church people don't save you. Jesus saves you. Get your eyes off church people and put them on Jesus. Okay? You can talk about everything that's wrong in churches today. They're just worried about the money. Get your eyes off churches and get them on the Savior. And look to Jesus for who He truly, truly is. Are you a child of the King? Have you chosen your Passover lamb? Listen, I'm going to be brutally blunt with you today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've not chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you're going to die. And when you die, you're going to spend eternity in hell. It was not prepared for you. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. And if you refuse this Jesus, this Messiah, this Passover Lamb that God Himself provided, if you refuse Jesus, there's no hope for you. We studied last Wednesday night, there's only one sin that it is impossible to be forgiven. And that is the sin of rejection of Jesus Christ. That when you stand before Jesus, when you stand before God, in the judgment, God can forgive you of everything you've ever done, but what He cannot forgive you of is rejection of His Son who died for you. Will you be saved today? Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this service today. And I know that there are folks, there are people here today who need to call upon you for salvation. I pray that today will be that day. I pray that today will be the day that they quit making excuses and that they see you for the Savior, the Messiah, that you truly are the Lamb of God who gave your life upon Calvary for their sins. Lord Jesus, glorify your great name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.